Dear friends, the title of our talk today is entitled, Saints in a Sin-Paralyzed World Shine Like the Stars in the Night. Before we go into the subject, let us bow our heads and knees before our wonderful God and pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you in love and adoration and in praise because you are a wonderful, loving, genuinely concerned God. We thank you for all that you did to save us. You did everything. You did the maximum. Now help us to do the same for you. As we see darkness surrounding us and the whole world engulfed in it, we want to shine like the stars in the night because you live in us and people see your light shining, radiating through us. Do this miracle in all of us, everyone who listens to this talk today. We thank you that you will because you see our desperate need in Jesus' beautiful name. Amen. So here we have the title, Saints in a Sin-Paralyzed World Shine Like the Stars in the Night. Since the day sin infected mankind, God could help us only if we allowed him to separate us from our sins. Because sin is separation from God. Salvation from sin is separation from sins and separation from our sinful nature. We need both. Our physicians know this principle. They do the same with people that have become victims of an infectious disease. A physician first separates the patient from his infected surrounding and then he cures him. This is why God took the Israelites out of Egypt, a sin-infested country, and led them to Canaan in order to make them his peculiar people. We read in Exodus 19, 5 and 6, Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 3, 4, 7 and 8, we read this, It is God's will that you should be holy, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Friends, this means that God wants a people who are holding on tenaciously to spiritual, moral, and physical cleanness. Today, the spirit of Sodom and Gomorrah reigns. Today's generation is utterly immoral. Today, everything is permitted that people crave for. I understand that the British government is trying to pass a law that legalizes incest. A British lawmaker was heard on the radio saying, why shouldn't parents be permitted to enjoy their children sexually as well? Friends, today we have moral anarchy in the world. Today demonism is taking over society. But in spite of this chaotic condition, God is looking for a holy people. Today God wants to do unbelievable things with those he saves. He wants, number one, to make them in character like himself, divine. Number two, he wants to sanctify them so completely that they can sit one day down on his throne with him and rule the universe. That's why in Old Testament times God said in Exodus 22:31, you are to be my holy people. Exodus 38:36-38, make a plate of pure gold and engrave it on it as on a seal, holy to the Lord. Fasten a blue cord to it, to attach it to the turban. It is to be on the front of the turban or the mitre. It will be on Aaron's forehead, and he will bear the guilt involved in the sacred gifts the Israelites consecrate. Whatever their gifts may be, it will be on Aaron's forehead continually, so that they will be acceptable to the Lord. In other words, the high priest wore a golden plate saying, Holiness to the Lord. This way, he shall never forget it, and all who see him shall never forget it, namely, that God called them all to a life of holiness. That plate which covered his forehead pointed to the fact that man's mind, man's brain, belonged to God. All our faculties are centered in the brain. Our ego is there. Our crown is there. It's the seal of our conscious and unconscious mind. It's the seat, of our conscious and unconscious mind. Everything, our whole body, serves the brain. The issues of our life are decided here, heaven or hell. The question, therefore, is, who possesses your mind? To whom do you give yourself? God says today, holiness to the Lord. That means your mind, your brain should belong to God. Your brain should be possessed by the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:22, but now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Friends, after you've been born again, after you've been justified, after you've been saved, after you've been truly converted, sanctification begins. Holiness is a lifelong process. It is separation from sin. It is separation from the devil and his spirit. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The new man and true righteousness means the life of Jesus Christ imputed to you, justification, and secondly, holiness, which means the life of Jesus Christ imparted to you. That is, the inside of us is renewed day by day. This is like an injection going directly into your bloodstream. Genuine holiness, not a fake. Remember, before they left Egypt to go to Canaan, the Israelites had to, number one, put the blood of the lamb on the outside, on the doorposts of their homes. That stood for justification. Secondly, they had also had to go inside their houses and eat the lamb they had killed. That's symbolic of sanctification. After you are saved from the power of Satan by the new birth, then God begins a new creation in you. He sets you free from all your sinful habits. He frees you from the dominion of your own sinful nature. He does all this in cooperation with you. It is a creative work in righteousness, and the fruit of it is holiness. After we lost our righteousness in the Garden of Eden, we all became habitual sinners. Now, how can we become saints again and be holy? By being united with God through Jesus Christ, through the new birth. Only then can we be cleansed from sin. There was Charlotte Elliot, the prima donna of the London Opera House. She was a godless woman. She refused to sing a religious song even when the King of England asked for it. Then one day, she heard the voice of God calling her to change her life. She went to the conductor of the orchestra and asked him this, "Tell me, what must I do to become a Christian? I'm living a very sinful life, and I want to stop." He answered, "Charlotte, just go to Jesus as you are. Don't try to make yourself good. It won't work. You can't do it." That day, Charlotte Elliot knelt down in her room and received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And as the Holy Spirit filled her with peace and joy, she sat down at the piano and composed a great song, "Just As I Am." "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down, now to be thine, yes, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive me, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God,
I come.
Secondly, by surrendering our ego to Jesus Christ, by allowing Jesus Christ to rule every aspect of our being, body, mind, and spirit, being willing to die daily to self, the old nature, Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Thirdly, by accepting the disciplining, the corrections of God, even if that brings suffering. Hebrews 12:6-10. The Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. Fourthly, by being called, justified, sanctified, and glorified. Romans 8:29-30. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Fifthly, by the Holy Scriptures. In John 17:17, Jesus prayed to his Father, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Number six, by allowing our whole being to be saturated with the Holy Spirit's holiness. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 7. By a lifelong dependence on the power of the Holy Spirit to conform you to the divine image of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:12-14. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on toward the goal, to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. 8. By allowing God to finish his work in me. Ephesians 5:27. To present us to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. This means that you always accept and live up to all and everything the Holy Spirit reveals to you. Now, who and what is called holy in the Bible? Number one, God the Father is called holy. Isaiah 29:19. Once more, the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Secondly, Jesus Christ is called holy. Acts 3:14. Peter speaks here to the Israelites. You disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you. Next, the Holy Spirit is called holy. Fourthly, Israel was to be holy. 5. The tabernacle of Israel was called holy. 6. The Sabbath is God's holy day. 7. The Bible is God's holy book. 8. The tithe is God's holy part. 9. The writers of the Bible are called holy men. 2 Peter 1:21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but holy men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 10. The church is called holy by using the word saints to describe its members. Romans 1:7. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. Now, these saints are not faultless. They still sin accidentally. They commit unconscious sins. But Christians do no longer practice premeditated sins. 1 John 3:8-9. He who commits sin, who practices evil doing, is of the devil. The reason the Son of God was made visible was to destroy the works the devil has done. No one born of God deliberately, knowingly, habitually practices sin, for God's nature abides in him. Amplified Version. The accidental sins, on the other hand, are referred to in 1 John 1:8-9. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. I believe the accidental sins of Christians are also referred to in 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. How? Habitually, practicing evil doing. But if anyone does sin, how? Accidentally. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Yes, the genuine born-again Christian holds on to his faith with a pure conscience. He's humble, honest, and lives only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 24:16. I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. And this is possible when the kingdom of God is in you, when the hope of glory, King Jesus himself, lives in you. This is when people around you notice that you are a holy person. Let me give you some examples. The Shunammite woman that lived in Israel said this about Elisha in 2 Kings 4:8 and 9. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Or another example. After King David had sinned, he prayed this way in Psalm 51:10 and 11. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. In other words, David pleaded with God, please sanctify me. The Bible also says that Enoch, Noah, Job, and Daniel walked with God as holy men. Holiness means to be sanctified, fully sanctified, to be closely united and amalgamated with the Holy Spirit in your practical daily walk. It means to become like Jesus Christ, not just to believe certain doctrines. To believe biblical doctrines is important, but it's not enough. You and I need a change of nature as well. Unholiness means a unity with Satan. There are so-called Christians who live unholy lives. Jesus calls them hypocrites. Matthew 23:27. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Oh, dear friends, it's better to be an unbeliever than a false believer. We Christians can put on a pious behavior, a solemn face, while living in an unholy lifestyle. But God looks behind our facade. He sees our true motives. 2 Timothy 3:5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with them. Take John the Baptist. John the Baptist baptized people in the Jordan River. Many Pharisees and rabbis came, but only to see a popular show. So John directed these stern warnings to them in Matthew 3:7-10. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And don't think you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Friends, our religion grows out of our roots. Our fruit depends on the roots. The fruit betrays us. What we are depends on our roots. Why are there so many phony Christians in our churches? Because all they stress is doctrine, while leaving out the death of the old nature. Dear friends, our old man, our old ego, must die daily. Our ego is incorrigible. And unless we experience a change of motives, we will never enter the kingdom of God. Tell me, what are we? And what must we become? 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple." The Israelites arrived at Mount Sinai, and God said to Moses, "Tell the people to prepare themselves for 3 days to meet me." Exodus 19:10, 11, and 22. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day, because on that day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Even the priests who approach the Lord must sanctify themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." When Joshua arrived with the Israelites at the Jordan River, he said to them, Joshua 3:5, "Sanctify, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The Lord will do miracles among you." Dear friends, this means that character change and God's miracles belong together. Why do I say this? Friends, because we stand today before great miracles, and this demands even a greater character change. 2 Peter 3:11, "Since everything will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." Do you remember the defeat the Israelites experienced when they tried to capture the city of Ai? The Lord said to Joshua, "Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel. You can't stand against your enemies until you remove it." In other words, cleanse the camp. There is a thief among you. Achan, get rid of him. Before Pentecost came, the disciples prepared themselves for 10 days for that great event. This must happen again today. God is saying to Laodicea, prepare yourselves for great events. Cleanse the camp. God said to Gideon, "Let all the cowards go home. They are lukewarm. 300 brave men is enough for me." Judges 7:7. "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place." In 1888, the Advent people received a great challenge from God that we did not succeed. We said to God, "We have enough doctrines. We don't need anything else." But we did need something else. The righteousness of Christ, a change in nature, a union with the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 12:14, "Without holiness, no one will see the Lord." Jesus Christ is waiting for this to happen in his remnant church. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." When I read this list of offenses against God, I say, there is hope for you and me. Only God knows your background, and he is willing to forgive today and offer you a new start. He asks you right now, "What is your present feeling toward me?" Friend, have you ever walked by a smelly, dirty, green marsh? And did you notice here and there a beautiful white lily raising its head above the swamp? in the middle of the night, the stars shine the brightest. Today the question of Peter penetrates my heart. 2 Peter 3:11. Since all these things are thus in the process of being dissolved, what kind of person ought each of you to be in the meanwhile, in consecrated and holy behavior, and devout and godly qualities? The answer is in Psalm 110:3. Your people will offer themselves willingly in the day of your power, in the beauty of holiness, and in holy array out of the womb of the morning. To you will spring forth your young men and women who are as the dew. Yes, my dear friends, the Lord's people are stepping before the Lord arrayed in holy garments. What is the beauty of holiness? The garment of Jesus' life. Like the stars in the night, so the saints shall shine in this sin-paralyzed world. You and I can never make it by ourselves. Only the Holy Spirit can do it in you. United with Him, you can be a bright star in God's firmament, wherever you live, wherever you work. May this be your sacred experience. Amen.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.